Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Being a public holiday, long weekend. Good to see a number of people here. We do miss those who are away. Can I ask you to turn back to Romans chapter 5 if you have close to your Bibles? We're going to spend some time looking at this passage. As Bev mentioned, it is a bit of a difficult passage, kind of repetitive. There's a lot of information there, but it's a fantastic passage. So we're going to try and look at this passage and make some sense out of it. Okay? So let's ask God to help us before we dive in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. Lord, you are the God of the universe, and we thank you for Jesus, because it is in him that we have everything that we have. And as you've just sung, we want to know him better. We want to know him better this morning. So help us as we look at this passage. Guide us through your Spirit. And Father, may you reveal what you have done through your Son Jesus to us in a more clearer way. And that we will leave this morning with a fresh understanding of who we belong to. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just Wednesday last week, Foster and I were sitting in front of the TV in the evening. We were just flicking through the channels, and we came across this game. Two teams were playing, one wearing maroon color outfits and the other wearing blue color outfits. And I like the color maroon, so I chose to support the maroons. And then Faustine likes the color blue, so she supports the blues. And we were supporting every goal that they scored, and when they couldn't score, we were getting anxious. And in the final few seconds, it was going, the Blues were going to win, and I was so anxious, but then the whistle blew half a second early, but my team won. I was so excited. Even I put a post on Facebook, and some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the state of origin, if I can get this working. Queensland versus New South Wales. The great rivalry continues. We have our teams, don't we? If you're following NRL or AFL, you might have your own team. Although I live in Australia, to the dismay of many Aussie friends of mine, I support Sri Lankan cricket team, whether they lose or win. So which team have you chosen? Which team do you follow? Why do you follow them? In some sense, as you look at this passage that was read to us by Bev, that's what Paul is talking about, isn't it? He shows us the two teams, Team Adam and Team Jesus. And he compares the two to show that Team Jesus is better than Team Adam. And finally, he tells us how we can belong to the better team, Team Jesus. So let's have a look at this passage. It flows from the previous passage, isn't it? That we looked at last week, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, where Paul has told the people, rejoice, be joyful, boast, because you are a believer, you have believed in Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying, rejoice because you have become part of Team Jesus. But the reason to rejoice is greater because we originally belonged to another team, a losing team. Have a look at verses 12 to 14. We belong to Team Adam. We belong to Team Adam. See, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created man and woman. The first person he created was Adam. And we are all born into Adam's family, aren't we? But what do we have because we belong to Adam? Verse 12, sin and death. So sin entered the world through one man, that is Adam, and death through sin. And death came to all men because all sinned. When Paul talks about men in these verses, he's not referring to just the males. He's referring to the whole humanity. In these verses, Paul is referring to the events of Genesis chapter 1 to 3 in the first book of the Bible, how things happened, where God had put the man and his wife in this beautiful garden. Everything was done for them. Everything was provided. All expenses paid. And the only thing required of him was to obey God. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, God tells him, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but you should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat, you shall surely die. And guess what? This is exactly what Adam did, didn't he? He doesn't trust in God. And as a result, he disobeyed God. And this was the very first sin. And the punishment for their sin. And Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. Their relationship with God was broken. That spiritual connection with God was broken. Or it died. And physical death became part of the life outside the garden. And this physical death is more or less a symbol of the spiritual death that we have between us and God. Now look at verses 13 to 14. Paul says, and sin and its consequences, which is death, is actually universal. It even extends to those who didn't break a specific commandment like Adam did. It also extends to those who are non-Jews, who didn't have the law of God. How do we know? Those who know their Bibles will know that God gave the Ten Commandments and many other commandments to Moses in the book of Exodus. A few centuries before, a few centuries after Adam. But the very fact that people who lived between Adam and Moses died should give us a clue that during that time, death was operating because sin was still in the world. Although they didn't break a specific law like Adam or Moses afterwards, death was there as a punishment for sin. And why did death reign? Because, according to these verses, Paul says, they belong to Adam. They belong to Adam. What Paul says is Adam is the representative or the head of the whole human race. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you had the law or not, whether you are a male or female, young or old, no matter where you come from, no matter which era that you lived, you belong to Team Adam. You were born to Team Adam. And Adam's punishment for sin, the spiritual and then the physical death, has become part of Adam's descendants ever since. In Adam, we all sinned, and in Adam, we all die. It's like some of you are Australian citizens, aren't you? And you are citizens of Australia not because you have done something. Years ago, many years ago, your parents or your grandparents or great-grandparents or even before that, they decided to come here and become citizens in this country. Now you are a citizen of this country because of what they did many years ago, because you were included in them. Their decisions affect you after so many years. We are all born to Team Adam. What have we inherited? Sin and death. It is a very gloomy prospect, isn't it, for the humanity under Team or under Captain Adam. But have a look at verses 15 to 19. Paul introduces another team, introducing Team Jesus. And if you look at the very end of verse, I think it was verse 14, come up on the screen. Paul says Adam was actually a type, a pattern of someone to come. According to the context, we recognize that he's talking about Jesus. In other words, Adam was a type or a pattern of one to come. And how is Adam a pattern of Jesus? How is Adam like Jesus? How are they similar? If you look at this passage, they're both representatives, aren't they? They're both captains, team leaders of the people who they represent. And just like Adam is the team captain of the old humanity, Jesus is the head or the captain of the new humanity. And what each of them do is actually transferred to those whom they represented. That is how they are similar. But in the rest of these few verses, Paul lists how Adam and Jesus is different. So I've got a bit of a chart up here for you to understand, because this helped me to understand. First, they're different in the way the things that they did. When he ate from the tree of the good and evil, Adam disobeyed God. When Jesus came and lived and died on the cross, he fully obeyed God. There's a difference in power. Power of Jesus is greater than the power of Adam. We have seen in the previous verses, haven't we? What Adam had was the power to sin, and he didn't have any power to do anything about his sin. But Paul says in verse 17, God offers abundance of grace. God's grace fully undoes, it overwhelms and disables the power of sin. Not only that, God's grace enables the believers to live victoriously. And we have inherited two different things, haven't we? In Adam, we have inherited sin or trespasses, if you look at verse 15. Verse 19 says, we are made sinners. But in Jesus, God has made us righteous, verse 19. Jesus makes us right before God. When we stand before God, we appear right before God. And then there are two different results, aren't they? Adam's sin brought death, verse 15. Verses 16 and 18, it brought judgment. And verse 18 says, Jesus' act of obedience brought justification, the right standing, and indeed it brought life to us. I'm going to keep it up there for a few seconds. You see, Paul is like this pesky salesperson, right? He's saying, come on guys, look at them, Jesus and Adam. Can't you see the difference? Can't you see that Jesus is much, much, much more better than Adam? Why would you choose? Why would you want to be in Adam's camp when you have Jesus much, much, much more better? And after showing this comparison between Jesus and Adam in verses 20 to 21, Paul invites us to choose Team Jesus. He invites us to choose Team Jesus. But then the question is, how can you become part of Team Jesus? How can you belong to Team Jesus? What do you have to do to belong to Team Jesus? The first thing he says is, you cannot be part of Team Jesus by obeying a set of rules. You cannot be part of Jesus' family, Jesus' team, by obeying the Ten Commandments. And if you're trying to do that, which is most of the Jews in Paul's day try to do, and even today they try to do, Paul says in verse 21, you have got it completely wrong. You have misunderstood the role of law completely. You see, the role of the law is not to make anyone good or make them righteous. No, it is the exact opposite. The law was given to show that we break the law. Now this year, how many months? It has been 6 months. It has been dreadful for me as a driver because I've got so many fines this year. Don't count it against me. I've been fined twice this year. $650 total. One for doing 55 on a 40 zone, and another for not stopping at a stop sign. I lost 5 demerit points as well. You know, when you get the infringement notice, they're so good, aren't they? I mean, they clearly state your offense. They say what you did, where you did, the time you did. I've got a picture even. There you go. That is my offense. The location, the demerit points that you will have, and if you're not satisfied, if you're still not satisfied, they even attach some picture evidences to show that you have broken the law, and you can't argue with a high definition picture of you sitting there in the driver's seat, right? The problem is, the infringement notices can't do anything to change your status. It can't pay your penalty. It can't change your situation. I'm going to take that off. It's up to you to pay the penalty. In the same way, God's law points to the fact that we break God's law. It shows us how utterly sinful we are. It confirms the penalty of death is valid for us, for our sins. It shows us that we are in big trouble, isn't it? But the sad reality is it isn't able, it cannot do anything to make you right, make you better. It cannot pay our debt. Rather, it points to the inability for us to pay the penalty. Obeying the law cannot make us belong to Jesus. It shows that we cannot. So if we can't be part of Jesus' team by obeying the law, by our own efforts, then how can we belong to Team Jesus? Verse 21 says, the law not only showed how bad we are, how sinful we are, it says when sin increased, grace increased all the more. The law not only pointed us to how bad we are, but it pointed us to God's vastness of God's grace. That God has done something that we don't deserve. That God has given us something that we don't deserve. Forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life. The law points to us that God has done amazing things on the cross of Jesus to forgive our sins. That He, Jesus, paid the penalty that our sins deserve. Now in Jesus, God has given us the right standing before Him. Not only that we don't have to die in Adam anymore. We are given eternal life in him. If you have your Bibles, read with me again verse 17. It will come up on the screen as well. Do you see the words there underlined? It says, those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. See, the word receive is the secret of how we become part of God's family, how we become part of Team Jesus. God has done everything. As we saw last week, he's done the hard work. He's done all the hard work in Jesus. And now the invitation, the gift of grace and righteousness is given abundantly to anyone and everyone. It is available to everyone, regardless of who you are, where you come from, what your age is, what your gender is, what your background is. This is available for everyone in abundance. But we must receive it. We must accept this gift. How do we receive it? We receive it by believing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. We must believe that Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sin. The only thing that we must do is to accept what he has done. That only trusting in Jesus gives us the ability to be part of his team. So I was preparing, I came across this quote by Tim Keller. It says, until we are united to Christ by faith, all that is true of Adam is true of us. But once we are united to Christ by faith, whatever is true of him, Jesus, is true of us. Now, how can we apply this passage to us today? I mean, first and foremost, the first thing is if you still haven't become part of Jesus' team, Paul is, as I said earlier, this pesky salesperson is saying, come on, guys. What else do you need? What else do you need to convince you? Jesus is much, much better than Adam. Switch your teams. Switch your teams. What is the point in following someone whose end is going to lead you to death, destruction, and condemnation? It doesn't make sense. After reading this, you must trust in Jesus so you can enjoy his goodness, enjoy his grace, forgiveness, righteousness, and indeed eternal life. Second, for those of us who are already part of Jesus' team, if you believe, then rejoice. And be joyful knowing that you are on the winning side. Be humble and boast only in Jesus, not on your own efforts. No, be rejoicing and be boasting on what Jesus has done. The third thing we should do is he wants us to, those who have trusted, those who have become part of Jesus' team, to stick with Jesus. To stick with Jesus, because life is going to be hard. There will be persecutions, there will be stresses and anxieties and pressures of life. There will be disappointment in following Jesus sometimes. And we'll just stick with Jesus till the end. Continue to trust in him. Continue to learn about him. Don't stop learning about him. Don't stop growing in understanding of him. Like the song that we sang, make that your prayer. I want to know you, Jesus, more and more. Be like him. Imitate him. The final application point I want to leave with you is, if you are part of Team Jesus, then, my friends, you got to be part of Jesus' mission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said to go to all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must be involved in Jesus' mission. We must be involved in what Paul is doing in this letter, telling people of the wonder of the gospel, bringing people into his kingdom, helping people to understand that Jesus is much, 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 much more better than being in Adam. We must be involved in helping people who are already in the mission field, sharing the good news of Jesus. And we must be involved in sharing this good news and being the good news in places that God has placed us. We must be involved in friends, telling people that you don't have to die without hope. That you can die with hope of spending eternity with God, because the alternate is a disaster. Be part of Jesus' team. Choose Jesus. Be joyful. Stick with him. Be part of his mission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the amazing privilege of being your children, being part of Team Jesus. And Lord, the blessing of being belonging to Jesus. Father, we remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus, he said, you can't do anything. You must be born again, born from above. And Father, I pray for those who are still to come into your kingdom, still to be believers. I pray, Lord, that you do that work in their hearts. Father, we want to see them in your kingdom. We want to see them part of Jesus' family. So we pray, Father, for conversion. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to work in their hearts. And for all of us, help us to rejoice. Help us to stick with Jesus. And help us, Father, to see those avenues that you provide to be in mission with Jesus. And Father, as we do, may we see your kingdom grow. And Father, may you give us joy in seeing people coming into your kingdom. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.